Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
It's Sal Capaccio.
I make a special capaccio for you, right?
Yes. Oh, now that sounds really good.
Oh, you like?
Hey, get away! Get away from my wife with that!
What's the matter, carpaccio, no good?
What do you do now?
They don't like a carpaccio.
They like carpaccio.
Oh. On WGR.
I make a carpaccio for you.
Sports Radio 550.
Sal joining us on the Wester Hotline, brought to you by New York's only outlet liquor. When you need to stock up, it's the best place to buy a case. What's your outlet? If yours is a Bills question that you want to ask, hey, 803-0550, dial us up right now because Sal is with us. Good morning, Mr. Capaccio. Happy Thursday to you, sir.
Good morning. How are you guys?
Good, good. Do you want me to do the injury report question? Even though I know you're going to tell me, guys, it's the first injury report of the week. Don't go crazy.
You can, because I think it's noteworthy, at least this week. There
what
is something
noteworthy?
Interesting to talk about, and that's Star Latulale. I'll give you the chance to read the sponsor, and I'll talk about it.
The injury report, hang on, wait for it, is brought to you by the Barnes Firm. Injured, call 1-800-8-MILLION. Go ahead.
So, defensive tackle Star Latulale did not practice yesterday with a groin injury. That's a new injury. It was the calf before, where he was limited and then questionable last week, and then he actually wound up playing in the game. So obviously this is something to monitor with Star Latulale. Now, there's a bunch of guys listed, a couple of vet rest days, Cole Beasley, Jerry Hughes, nothing to worry about there. Obviously, Tremaine Edmonds, he did practice in full. He had heat illness. Now, that goes back to the fact that the reason he's listed, generally, like, there's basically a rule that says if a guy leaves a game with an injury or some sort of issue, like he was getting an IV and he had cramps, and he doesn't return, it basically has to be listed on the injury report the following week to start all the week. So I don't know if he has to be listed all week, but it's like a lingering thing that, you know, you have to kind of account for that, so to speak. Gabriel Davis still with the ankle, but this reminds me maybe of last week where, you know, he's going to be a little bit limited, but he played last week, so that's good news. So really the one here is then Dane Jackson, a knee. I did see, oh yeah, Levi. So Levi actually did leave the game as well with the cramp, but it's listed as a knee injury, but he was a full participant. The only one I think right now to really kind of think about and look ahead is Star Latulale.
A lot of talk this week about Josh Allen and the passing offense. Allen spoke to the media yesterday. Can you give us a couple highlights?
Yeah, so, you know, he really talked about being hard on himself a lot, you know, and he, you know, I don't want to go as far as say, oh, my God, he's feeling the pressure of this big contract. Because I think Josh is just always like that, right? But it may be maybe because he knows that, you know, there's more on his shoulders now. He's a lot of expected from him. All the MVP talk, the level they got to last year, the contract. You know, you never know. I mean, he's a young 20-year-old kid, you know, to put it that way. And he's always been his worst critic. But he talked a lot about yesterday about how he has to move on from plays. And he can't let that linger. And, you know, having Brian Daboll is obviously a big benefit. He mentioned Stephon Diggs. He was asked, is there a guy in the huddle who kind of is the guy that will say to you, like, hey, let's go. And he immediately just said 14, Stephon Diggs. He said it, and he doesn't have to, like, he doesn't initiate it. He said Stephon can see it in him. He can see it in him. And he walks up and he talks to him. And I think it goes back to the relationship they formed going back to last offseason when Stephon was traded and they did all the stuff in Florida together. These guys are always having fun and practice together before practice.
Yeah.
They're always talking. You see that relationship even from the outside looking in. But I thought that was really interesting that he talked a lot about that.
And I guess I'm wondering, can that be a bad thing? The only reason why I mentioned Allen bringing that up is what Brian Daboll said, you guys, on Monday when he was asked about Josh Allen. He said, yeah, he's upstairs. He's a little down right now. And I guess at some point, right, you've got to get past that, get through that, and go on to the next challenge, and you wouldn't want it necessarily to linger too much.
That's right. Can it be a bad thing? Absolutely, it can be a bad thing if exactly what you just said happens. If you let that affect, you have to have a, you know, it. I don't think there's any difference really from what we say about cornerbacks. You have to have a short memory,
yeah.
right?
Yep.
If you're a quarterback and you miss a play, you're a wide receiver, you miss a play, you're a lineman, you miss a block. I think sports is just about that. You have to have a short memory. You can't be thinking about the last play you didn't make, because then you're not going to make the next play you should, right? And I think that can absolutely be a hindrance. And, you know, I think the way Josh is talking, he's saying that, like, maybe he's let that happen to him a couple times through the first 2 weeks. He's thinking about it so much, and he can't. You know, he really talked about, too, the first drive of the second half. And you know, this came up in the postgame press conference when he said, and I mentioned the quote to you guys the other day, they went a little bit of away from necessarily the game plan stuff to more to the comfortability stuff.
Right.
And he even talked yesterday about how getting the ball out, not letting the defensive line really have any say in what happens because they're getting the ball out. They got it to their playmakers. They drive down the field. He feels comfortable. You know, I think that's getting into a rhythm. I think that could go a long way and into what we're talking about, which is maybe, you know, if he misses a play, boom, let's get to the next play and give him something where, boom, he finds a nice, easy completion and that. Now, you don't want to be making a game plan around that and going play to play and, oh, my God, what's Josh's mental state? That's not what I'm saying at all. But I think Josh understands that, you know, he has to – He can't try to make up for two plays in one, so to speak. And I think maybe that's where this is coming in a little bit.
We'll talk more about Washington with you tomorrow, Sal, but it just sounds like we had a guy on from Chris Russell from the Team 980 yesterday. Yeah. And he said basically everybody in the secondary is struggling. So at least if you're looking for a bright spot or potential bright spot here, after playing two of the better cornerbacks in the league and a secondary that included really good safeties, especially Minkah Fitzpatrick, might get a little bit of a break this Sunday facing a struggling secondary.
Yes. If the offensive line, you know, does their job
right.
The defensive line of Washington does not get right because they haven't been right, so to speak. It's funny. I think the Washington defensive line, people there are talking about them the way we are talking about the Bills passing offense, which is, hey, what's going on? Look at this talent. Look at this group. They haven't really been doing what we expect them to do and rising to that level. Well, you don't want that to happen this week. And what Washington's done, guys, is they've had to generate more of a pass rush with blitzing. Well, we know what the Bills over the last year have done against teams blitzing against them. And, you know, especially if you're talking about guys on the back end who you can kind of maybe take advantage of. Now, this is not the Miami secondary. They're not the Miami cornerbacks. So, yeah, if Josh and the passing offense get opportunities against those guys, absolutely. I think the way they get opportunities, though, is to make sure that defensive line does not have a lot of success against the Bills' offensive line.
Sal with us on the Western Hotline. One of the storylines, although it's not the first time this has happened, is certainly Sean McDermott coaching against Ron Rivera. And that's come up, I think, Monday and Wednesday, right, in the press sessions or the media sessions with Sean McDermott. Can you talk a little bit about what does Sean typically say about his relationship with Ron Rivera, and more specifically about he got his start on Andy Reid's staff, but he worked as a coordinator with Ron Rivera in Carolina. What about the impact Rivera has had on Sean McDermott's career now as a head coach?
Yeah, and I believe they were all in Philly together.
Yes,
right? With Leslie Frazier, right? You go back to the early 2000s, 1999. I'm looking right now when Rivera started there. 99 in Philly, he was a linebackers coach. He was there through 2003. You know, these relationships go way back. And if there's one coach in this league that, you know, Sean has a lot of ties to a lot of guys. He was a college teammate of Mike Tomlin. Obviously, we know that he coached under Andy Reid. Like, but if there's one coach in this league that truly you can feel and hear the emotion of Sean talking about his respect level, it is Ron Rivera. I think that is a very genuine, heartfelt relationship. I think they're close. They have so much respect for each other. You know, he's really referred to Ron as a mentor, you know, mm-hmm. in a lot of ways for him. And I've thought about this a little bit. You know, what's the difference there? Is it, yeah, obviously, it could just be two guys who've really got to know each other. But I also think that, you know, here's Ron, Ron's a defensive coach. You know, he played linebacker for the Bears he was close to a decade. You know, he was a football player. And yet here he is running his own team as a defensive coach. But I think he gave Sean the space to do what he needed to do. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, here he is as the head coach in Carolina, but Sean was the defensive coordinator. And I think a lot of times, like, when you're in that situation, like, maybe the head coach can be a little bit overbearing, or, you know, hey, this is my side, it's my defense. And I don't know. Like, I don't know the inner workings of when they were in Carolina, but I get the sense that, like, Sean really, to me, my interpretation is Sean really respects the fact that, you know, Ron gave him that latitude, and he learned a lot from him, but it was his ownership he gave him. And I think that's a really key thing for a lot of people.
I think it's interesting, too. There was a piece in Washington. I guess they had talked to Rivera about Sean McDermott and the work that has happened here, you know, the turnaround, the build, all that stuff. And Rivera was talking about how the Bills are a model that I guess they're following in Washington. And I think if I remember correctly, I thought McDermott said something about, or someone asked him about, Rivera actually had talked to Sean McDermott essentially saying, hey, how'd you get things done in Buffalo? Like, they're trying to follow some of these things in his build in Washington.
Well, first let me say, yes, that's true. I don't think it's also unique, because I've heard the same thing about other places. My friend John Harris, who's the sideline reporter for the Texans, has said the Texans have kind of done the same thing. Like, they've looked at Buffalo as a model.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, think about that. These teams are now looking at the Bills and Buffalo as a model, but I think this one now, you talk about that relationship, but this one extends to Brandon Bean. You know, Ron Rivera, Brandon Bean, they have a relationship, and I think it's not just Sean. It's Ron Rivera seeing what Brandon Bean and Sean have done together, how it works over here. Now, there's a little difference there, though. I mean, we had a guest on our show yesterday, Nikki Jabvala, talking about Washington from the Washington Post. And I asked her, like, you know, with Daniel Snyder there, you know, what is the relationship? What's the working relationship? Because I think we see it here, right? You have ownership, you have a GM, you have a head coach. And it looks like here, the Pegulas really allow Brandon Bean and Sean McDermott to do what they need to do. A lot of times you look at Washington and say, is Dan Snyder doing that?
Mm-hmm.
But Nikki said that really he has. Like, Ron Rivera has... He runs the football operation. He has say over everything. So I think that's really where a lot of this comes in. Hey, you want to do it that way. You know, you got to have a clear direction, and you can't have all these different people pulling in different directions, which I think you've seen in Washington for many years because of Daniel Snyder. So I think that's a big reason why, you know, they're talking like that as well.
Sal with us here on the Western Hotline. I did want to ask you, I thought, you know, we had Taron Johnson on the show this morning, and he was really good talking about continuity. We've used that word a lot around here the last couple of years. And last year, though, I think it was really more about offense, right? Josh, the O-line, the receivers, all that stuff. But continuity on the defense, Sal, they are out of the gates quickly this year. And yes, some of it is due to the fact they've played two offenses that weren't very good. But what about continuity on that side of the ball? Everybody's back. Their coordinator is back. A whole bunch of position coaches were back. How much do you think that might be aiding the defense this year?
Oh, I think it's huge. I mean, this defense, as I've said many times, I think the best way to put it is they're about the sum, not the parts. They have very good players. We know that. They have an all-pro cornerback from a couple years ago, Tre'Davious White. We know the safeties. We've always said as a tandem, as you brought up with Taron, they're very good. Individually, they're also very good. Maybe they don't get the just due as an individual group. We know what Matt Milano's been doing. But I think everybody, what happened last year when Star was out, Milano was a bit injured, Tremaine was a bit injured, it kind of impacts everybody next to them, right? Ed Oliver's job is much easier when he has Star next to him. Matt Milano's job is easier and better when he has Tremaine Edmonds next to him, and vice versa, right? I think all of that goes in concert. This really is about a team defense. When you hear Sean McDermott say team defense, it's not just a cliche. Yes, every coach says that, team defense, 111th, right? They all say things like that. It truly is in this defense. This is not a defense where it is just built on a bunch of stars to go out and make plays, right? And that's why I think it's so important. You know, you go back and watch that Miami game. They're just so fast at everything they're doing.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, as soon as they recognize something, bam, they get to what they need to do. And it was really interesting to watch, especially like field level. There's no miscommunication, right? As soon as something happens, as soon as one guy moves on the offense, everyone reacts and knows exactly what they're supposed to do and what everybody else is supposed to do. And I kind of find that fascinating from that side of the ball.
Well, I think, right, that comes with knowledge of not only the playbook, familiarity with the scheme, but like you said, familiarity with each other. And going back to Taron Johnson, like we asked him about, you know, what Leslie Frazier said, like he's a coach on the field now. And he brought up the whole thing that we always hear players talk about, Sal, the more comfortable they become with the playbook, the less they're thinking, the faster they play.
100%, right? And I think that's the aim and that's the goal. It's hard to do. There's so much turnover in this league. There's so much turnover from coaches and obviously from players to get what the Bills have right now. And by the way, I think it needs to be said, like, that's still a young group, right? I mean, yeah, I know the safeties are getting a little older, but they're both under contract after this year. Now, you look around that defense, guys, like, everybody's still pretty young and still under contract. Like, this is not going to stop. Right. Taron's in a contract year.
Right.
Saran Neal's in a contract year, right? Like, they could re-sign Taron. We don't know what's going to happen with that. But really, you look around that defense and all the guys we're talking about here and all the things they're doing, this isn't going to stop anytime soon as far as the continuity piece that we're talking about.
Okay, I would just like to let you know, by the way, Sal, you are now going to be a part of history. We're going to do something right now that's never been done with you, and quite honestly, will probably never happen again. We're going to break early. So I just wanted to thank... I didn't know if you have a bad heart. I didn't want to stun you. I didn't want you to collapse or anything. We're going to break super early because of Sabre's press conferences, so I wanted to thank you for your time and let you know this is never going to happen again.
I appreciate it, and I'll be listening to Kevin Adams and Don Granato as well.
And we will listen for you and Joe at 10 o'clock.
All right, guys, thank you.
Thank you, Sal. Sal, of course, with the Extra Point Show with Joe DiBiase coming up at 10 to noon, and his segment with us on the Western Hotline was brought to you by New York's only outlet liquor. When you need to stock up, it is the best place to buy a case. What's your outlet? Sal doing the promoting, teasing of the next segment. Kevin Adams, Sabres GM, will be chatting with the media downtown, scheduled to start at 8:30. We will bring that to you live for your planning purposes. Don Granato will speak at 9:15. We'll also have that for you live here on WGR. They'll have a group hitting the practice ice at 10 and another group hitting the practice ice at 1. Today's practices are not open to the public.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Hang on, this is where I'm supposed to tell you that you should let TRS Heating and Air Conditioning intercept your heating bills. Visit WGR550.com. Look for the TRS Heating and Air Conditioning Intercept Your Heating Bills contest link. And then enter for a chance to win $1,200 towards your home heating bills this winter. At the end of the pro football regular season, one lucky winner will be randomly selected from among all entries to win. We are awaiting the press conference downtown from Sabres GM Kevin Adams. As soon as he starts speaking with the media, we'll bring that to you live. Again, they are on the ice today, but it is not open. The practice is not open to the public. They will, when they are at Harbor Center, their practices will be open to the public. When they're at the KeyBank Center, they will be closed to the public. They are at KeyBank Center today. If you give me just a momentito, I believe they're at Harbor Center before the week is out. Tomorrow, right? Tomorrow's Friday, yes. So tomorrow they are scheduled to practice at Harbor Center from 10 to 11:30, and then again from 1 to 2:30 as they split up into different groups. Those would be open to the public. And we'll try and keep you updated on their schedule. Real quick, as we wait, what do you need to know? Bills injury report. Hughes and Beasley had veteran rest days yesterday. Lotulelei didn't practice groin. Davis, ankle, Hyde, neck. Jackson, knee were limited. Antonio Gibson was limited at the Washington practice. Their running back with a shoulder.
He's also limited by their coach, who wouldn't give him the ball that much in the second game. He's really good.
I'm guessing you have him on one of your teams, or...
Maybe I just made an observation about a player. I mean, can I do that anymore?
Hearing a little raucousness in the background. What do we got going on?
It's been a raucous couple of hours. Don't ask about last night.
This is so much. This is so cool. It's like bringing back memories from 20 something years ago.
Yeah. You've got memories of yeah.
Well, no. I mean, you have twice as much fun as I did. I wasn't dealing with twins. So I don't know if something happens with one, it sets off the other. They both coordinate and have a strategy against you and your wife. I'm not really sure how it works with twins.
Anytime that either one of us has to deal with when it's one on two,
yeah,
and you can't play man to man, you got to play zone.
You're shorthanded.
That's what twin parents. Yeah, you got to play zone instead of man to man. It's a lot more difficult.
Oh my God, that's hilarious.
So when one of us leaves the house, you switch to zone.
Oh, my. Okay, well, you know what? Brayton and I are here for you, so you got to do whatever you got to do. And also, what else headlines? Oh, Tua's got fractured ribs. Now, there's no timeline from the Dolphins. I read a piece from Armando Salguero, who used to cover the Dolphins for the Miami Herald. Now he works for, I think it's Outkick.com. He said, since it's a fractured ribs now, typically that's a 3 to 6 week timeline. For what it's worth, if it's 6 weeks, that would be the game against the Bills. That would be the sixth week for Tua Tagovailoa. If indeed he is out the longer portion of the 3 to 6 weeks, he could miss the second game against the Bills. Justin Fields starting Sunday. Dalton's injured. Derek Carr seemingly good to go on the ankle injury. That according to John Gruden. And Bills fans, you can watch their week four opponent tonight, Houston Texans. Of course, no Tyrod Taylor. It's Davis Mills at quarterback as they take on Carolina. And that gets you caught up on the headlines, which were brought to you by Paddock Chevrolet. Let's go downtown. Here's Sabres GM Kevin Adams.
Since this process has begun with Jack, his health has been what's most important to all of us, his health as a person. And that's from me, through our medical staff, the whole organization. I think we would all agree that we were hoping to, as we work through the offseason, to avoid surgery. Certainly with any injury, in particular in this one, when you're dealing with the neck, that would have been best case scenario. Unfortunately, yesterday, Jack did not pass his physical. At this point, Jack is not willing to move forward with what our doctors are suggesting is the fusion surgery. So we're going to continue to work towards solutions. I will say Pat Brisson has been great to deal with since he's gotten involved in this process. We speak multiple times a day. He's one of the best in the business for a reason, and we're going to continue to work at this. But it's obviously a challenging situation, but that's where we are as of this morning. Well, he would be on injured reserve. And we'll look at everything moving forward. You know, that's not something we take lightly. Obviously, there's rules within the CBA, but we'll continue, John, to look at everything moving forward.
Back in late July, Jack's last agents said that they were initially under the impression that you guys would approve the surgery. What do you think the disconnect was there?
Yeah, I don't know, Lance. I'm not sure how that was ever said. What I can tell you is we have absolute trust in our doctors. They are the medical experts. They've been consistent since day one. As I mentioned, first and foremost, the health of Jack as a person, not the hockey player. Secondly, how do we get through a process where you're hoping to avoid surgery and getting a player back on the ice? And then lastly, if we were at the point where surgery was an option, They've never wavered from what they've suggested would be the next step. And if there was something else done, that they would be uncomfortable with it. So I have no idea. But as I said to you guys before, I'm not a doctor. My job isn't to try to suggest certain things to doctors. My job is to listen, gather all the information, ask questions, and then make the best decisions for our organization moving forward. Yeah, I mean, I think doctors are doctors for a reason, and I'm not one, but they're the experts. So I've learned a lot over the last number of months about different things and possibilities, but it's tough for me to answer specifics on types of surgeries. I just listen to our doctors and experts, and I do ask a lot of questions, and I try to understand. That's where they're at. We trust them 100%. They have... there are certainly ours. You guys know the other team in town. They work for them as well. These are experts, and that's what they believe. People have, options that they, going to look at. He's certainly been educated, and I give Jack a lot of credit in terms of, doing his research and trying to understand different options. But, our doctors have been clear from the beginning. If we got to this point, that's where, they felt they would be comfortable.
In your mind, is it impossible to trade Jack until he has some sort of surgery?
I don't know if I want to get into exactly that type of thing. What I would say was we're open to it. Like I've said before, with any player, how do we make our organization better? We have a plan. We are going to stick to our plan. In the short term, a little bit medium, and then longer term, we're going to stick to it. And if we have an opportunity to do that and we feel it's the right thing for a franchise, then we'll do it. Now, if there was a solution over the course of the summer and that was an opportunity we thought made sense, we would have done it. But obviously that's not the case, so we'll see where we go from here. John, can you explain it?
With Jack Eichel being sidelined.
Yeah. Jack's one of the best players in the world, and that's why I say getting him, having him healthy playing is what we all want. So we'll continue to look at every possibility of how we get there, and then if there's an opportunity to do something that we think's right for a franchise, we'll do it. But it's a challenging situation, obviously, but we're gonna continue to work at it. I want to say this, guys. This is so critical in how we move forward with this franchise, with building the culture and engaging with our fan base and getting this group of fans and people to trust this organization. We have to earn that. We have to earn that. And that's a message that went to the team yesterday. I just think that's very powerful. I'm going to keep saying it. We need to build around people that want to be here for the right reasons. We feel really good about some of our young core. That's here. We're going to continue to identify that. We feel really good about some of our veteran people, whether they've been here or that we brought in, that can help mentor, that have been good pros in this league, John. And then there's players that we brought in that are maybe somewhere in the middle, but they have a chip on their shoulder to earn something, improve something. And so that's why we're, building this a certain way, and we won't compromise on that. Go ahead. You have an answer.
Is he still the captain of this team, and
I spoke to Jack 2 days ago. I spoke to the team yesterday and addressed this. Jack Eichel is no longer the captain of the Buffalo Sabres. From our perspective and my perspective, I feel the captain is the heartbeat of your team. And we're in a situation from where we were in the past and where we are now that felt that we needed to address that and make that decision. Sorry, let me get a sip of water here. Jack was here for his physical. He's made it clear to me, and I will say this. Jack and I have had a lot of conversations together in person, on the phone, over the course of this offseason. I've spoken to his previous agents daily, his Pat Brisson daily. There's been a lot of communication. Jack's here for his physical. He made it clear to me that he – he doesn't want to be a distraction. He doesn't want to, you know, take away from what we are trying to build here. So he will continue his rehab, you know, not necessarily in this facility on a daily basis, but, you know, and then we'll work towards where we go from here.
How much is his preference to have this specific surgery held up train talks and made this and really led us to where we are today when he's still in your organization and a deal hasn't been done?
Well, Lance, I think it goes back to what I said. A lot of teams, as I spoke to, and again, this isn't unique to Jack. I guess it is because of the situation we're in, but teams want clarity. And over the course of the summer, there wasn't great clarity. We have more clarity now. The hope and the strategy that we were working through in the offseason was to how do we get Jack Eichel healthy and how to, if possible, avoid a surgical procedure. Now we know where we're at, and that does provide clarity. But I do think that's played a role in this. I mean, you know, this is an elite franchise player in his prime, under contract. And we need to, as an organization, move forward. But we can't compromise on certain things we believe. And, you know, but we're gonna work at it. Every day we do, we have in the past, and we'll continue to. Well, I guess, you know, that's hard for me to answer in the sense that, you know, I'm not going to get into specifics on conversations, but I would probably suggest that everyone in this room and across the hockey world believes that a healthy Jack Eichel is a franchise player, and these type of situations don't come up very often where players are moved. So I know there's been a lot of things speculated. We believe there's value on Jack Eichel, and we will do what we need to do as an organization to do the best we can moving forward. And that's how we're going to do this.
Kevin, you talked about you have some clarity now. I think the point of confusion is it seemed over the summer there was clarity. The team wanted one surgery. Jack wanted one surgery. Now you're saying, well, we were trying to avoid surgery.
Well, no, I don't.
Yeah,
but I think that's a fair point. But as you go through this process, he was examined quite often in Buffalo, other places. Our doctors looking at it saw there was slight improvements as the summer from strength and imaging, and even if they're minimal, but that gives you hope. And I guess what I would say is it's hard to put an exact timeline to say, okay, by this date, if he's not, you know, 100% and cleared, then you're going to have surgery. So it's a little bit of a moving target, but I guess the bigger point, Mike, is we're looking to do everything we could to avoid that, knowing that if we got to the point where surgery was going to be considered an option, yeah, those discussions had happened over the course of the last few months and where we would go from here. Now we're in this situation. Jack's, you know, of the same mindset he was. Our doctors are of the same mindset. So that's where we're at right now, and we're just going to have to continue to work at what the solution is moving forward.
But, I mean, we've been in this since May when Jack initially told us that you went through the draft, you went through free agency. I mean, it's September 23rd. What changes on October 23rd or November 23rd? I guess what I'm asking is how do you break the stalemate here and not let it go 6 months, a year? I mean, he's got 5 years left. You guys could conceivably just let him sit around.
Well, I guess if there was an easy solution, we would have acted on it. So we're going to have to continue to look at this on a daily basis. As of now, we are in a situation where we have a player that is resistant to what our experts are saying, and we are going to continue to trust what our medical doctors tell us. Which is in the best interest of Jack as a human being and as a hockey player. I don't think it's probably smart for me to, you know, start to speculate on down the road in the future of what could or couldn't happen, but we are adamant that we're going to stay on top of this, do what's best for the franchise, and whether that means today or that means it takes time. I don't want to put a timeline on it because then, you know, then it's out there, but I'm not sure when it's going to be, but we'll continue to work at it.
And certainly the CBA is in the team's favor. But how much concern do you have about the optics of the situation in the eyes of other players?
Robin Leonard said about previous medical staff people here over the summer?
I am really, really, how do I say this right away? I wake up every day thinking about how do we get better today? How do we move this franchise forward? How do we make our fans proud? How do we earn the respect from you guys, from our fans, from the league? I don't live in the past. I think you can learn from the past, but I'm not interested in living in the past. So for me, that's not helpful. But what we will do is we will do things the right way. We will stick to our plan, and we're not going to cave or back down because of pressure or because people are saying you have to do this. We're going to do what we believe is right. And what my job is to take all the information and do what we believe is right for this franchise. And that's what we're going to do.
Kevin, is it possible that Jack has played his final game in Buffalo?
Yeah, it's for me, that's just a question that's not going to get into, predicting the future. What I can say is when it's the right time that we have a solution, we're going to make the right decision. This is fluid. In this job, you have a plan, and we need to draft well. We need to develop our players. We need to retain our own players. We need to build around people that want to be here. It is so important when I look in guys' eyes in the locker room, I know they want to be a Buffalo Sabre. They want to put that jersey on. When you have that as your plan, you stick to it. You can't get caught up in next week or tomorrow or a month, because that's not how it works. When things come together, it's the right time, you make the right decision. And there's certain pressure points. That's why trades happen at certain times more than others, or a player gets signed at a certain time. That's natural in this job. But when you're talking about level and how we're putting something together, we're sticking to it. Yeah, Lance, that is a great question, and it's something I addressed yesterday with the team. Jack Eichel is friends with these players. I was a player. It's deeper than you work together, to make it simple. There's relationships. They care about each other. Those players in the locker room care about Jack Eichel as a person. They want to see Jack healthy, back playing hockey. We all understand that. I addressed that with the team yesterday. The key for us now is they have clarity. The players have heard it directly from me. They understand exactly the situation we're in. They are now all about how do we move forward together? Who is in this locker room? Why are they in this locker room? How do we get better? That's what those guys are talking about every day, and that's what gets me excited. So it doesn't diminish the fact that there's a friend of theirs that's in this situation. But this is a mature group, and you look at guys like Okposo, and you look at guys like Gergensen, and then Craig Anderson that have been in this league and are respected through this league, and then you look at guys, and there's others that are more veterans. And then you look at certain younger players that took massive steps, not just on the ice, but in terms of the locker room and in terms of their voice, and that's the Dahlins and, Mittelstats and Cousins, and these are just really hungry players. And when you look in their eyes and you see we're about moving forward. And that's the message that I have for them, they have for me, and Donnie Will and the coaches will be talking about every day.
Will you have a captain?
No, right now we're going to let this group learn and grow and kind of figure out to some extent themselves. And a captain is the critical role in an NHL team, but it's not unprecedented where you kind of let it play itself out. And there's a lot of voices in there that are strong, that are good, that are good pros. So we'll just, instead of rushing into that, we're just going to let this play itself out a little bit.
And what is the club's vaccination status?
100%. Yeah, it's great. And the NHL policies were very clear. That's a great thing for us, in terms of where we're at as we start camp. Well, I think, I go back to If we had an easy solution, you know, we would have acted on it. You know, we'll continue to look at every possible scenario of how we move forward. There's a CBA for a reason. Obviously, that's in place. And we all want to, you know, continue to work together in how we move forward. So that's really where we're at. We're going to trust our doctors. I'm going to be in a position where I continue to ask questions, continue to gather information, continue to talk to managers around the league every day, provide them clarity, explain our situation, and then when it's the right time and there's a resolution, you will all know. Exact opposite. Terry and Kim have been absolutely phenomenal through this process. I talk to them multiple times a day, both of them, and I have since I've had the job, but in, you know, more particularly with this situation, just making sure they're up to speed. They are unbelievably supportive and helpful in this process. They ask me questions. They bring up things that maybe I hadn't thought of, and it's just a constant communication back and forth. And again, they're an extension of what I said. They care about Jack Eichel, the person. They want to see Jack Eichel healthy. The hockey player is secondary, but they've been tremendous through this, and I'm really appreciative of that.
Are you at a point where the door is still open for conversations with other GMs right now about Jack?
Yep. That's maybe why I was a minute too late. You're talking every single day. And if I'm on the other side and I have been in different situations, I want clarity. I want to understand. There conversations are happening a lot, and they'll continue to happen until we resolve this.
Where are you hitting that stalemate?
Well, I think it's, you know, part of it isn't a stalemate. Part of it's just an understanding. And there's take away this type of situation, just on any normal player transaction, if you're making a trade in general, there's a ton of work that goes into that before you ultimately get to the point. So in this situation, when you're having conversations, there's a lot of moving parts, you know, and there's, as you guys know, this is unique. You have a player at this age that is a franchise level player, but that has this, you know, uncertainty around where he's at health wise. So, part of it's the clarity, and then part of it is them understanding, okay, what are we looking to do, and then how do we go from there?
What was your reaction when you said that using surgery was not something?
Well, I think, you know, any player through any type of situation has the ability to, you know, look at options and, you know, make decisions. But, you know, what I've tried to do is just ask questions of Jack, too, and help him understand where our doctors are coming from. And, I got to tell you, John, our doctors have done, in my opinion, an unbelievable job providing clarity to Jack in why this was, if we got to this point and he had exhausted his, you know, rehab process, why they felt this would make sense, why they felt that this was the appropriate next step. And Jack asked questions back, and, you know, that's now where we're at. But I do think there's been great communication, just maybe a difference of opinion. Sorry, can it what?
Degenerate. Can it get even worse?
That's more for the doctor, but I think any what I've learned through this process is time is always good. You know, when you're talking about this type of injury, more time generally leads to better result. But nobody can say it's going to be this day or this day. And obviously our hope was that, you know, he came in here yesterday and, you know, would have been to the point where cleared and we wouldn't have be having this conversation, but that didn't happen. And I understand from a medical position why our doctors, you would want to give it every possible time to get to that point and avoid any type of surgery.
Basically, no one in North America thinks you guys have any chance they're going to
It's about doing things the right way, and it's about building. And it would be easy for me to stand here, Mike, and get upset at that type of question or statement that you said. But I think the better answer to that is we need to earn it. I am not wanting to just say what's happened over the past 10 years. Here's what you learn from it. This is about us as an organization, the culture of our team, earning the respect on a daily basis. And I said that yesterday. It's every conversation. It's every practice. It's every workout. It's every game. We have to earn it. And if you have that mentality, okay, as a player, then it starts to build and it starts to grow. I could get mad and say, no, you know what? Okay, we have to earn it. And when we do, then everything will take care of itself. And I am so excited about when I look in some of these young guys' eyes, and I know they have a connectivity to the family in the 300 level that is doing everything they can to provide for their family and still come and cheer our team on. That's the connection that we need as an organization. We can't forget about what's most important, and it's that this is something special in a town that cares, that wants to see hard work, that wants to see people own it. If you're not good enough, own it. And I said that to the players. You know what? If you were not good on the ice, then just say, I got to be better. Don't make excuses. I don't want an organization where we make excuses. And so that's, I guess, the answer to that, Mike. But you know what? We have a plan in place. We are going to stick to this plan. We will not back down from pressure, from criticism, from wherever the external noise comes from. And we're going to trust it. And I'm excited about that. That's what gets me excited every day.
All right, that is Kevin Adams, Sabres GM, as the press conference is going on downtown. We are super late, so real quick, if you joined us late, Jack Eichel failed his physical. He doesn't want the fusion surgery. The Sabres want him to have the fusion surgery. They're continuing to work with Jack's agent. He's going to be on injured reserve. He's no longer the captain. You're up to speed. We'll get a break in. We'll come back. We'll digest all this stuff. Don Granato is going to be talking to the media around 9:15. We'll get you some of that as well. 803-0550 for you to join us, WGR.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today. Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary. Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Day, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.